You know, how just amazing it is to be part of a church that's growing, that's seeing new people come into relationship with Jesus. And today, we're going to talk a little bit, we're going to look at the church in general. Let me pray, and then we'll dive in together. Lord Jesus, we thank you already for the message that we've witnessed of your salvation through this baptism. God, we pray that you open our eyes to your scripture this morning as we learn from you. In your name we pray, amen. So when I say the word church, this is, you don't have to talk out loud. You don't have to say this out loud. But when I say the word church, what comes to your mind? What do you think of when you think of the word church? And I was going to put all sorts of fun pictures on here, but that would distort your picture of church. So think with me, what comes to mind? Perhaps it's what we are doing right in this moment right now. It's a service where we have music and teaching and perhaps a baptism or communion as we're about to celebrate in just a few minutes here. Maybe it's the gathering time back there after service where we get to eat some food together and talk. I know for me, it's very life-giving to have these small conversations with you guys in passing and, you know, give a hug here and there. And I look forward to Sunday morning. And in my mind, when I think of church, that's what I think of. Or maybe you think of the building. You say, we're going to church, and so you think we're going to a physical location, like this building that we're in right now. Or maybe your picture of a church is more traditional, white steeple, stained glass. That's great, too. Or perhaps your picture, when I say church, maybe you think of serving other people, going out into the streets, reaching for the streets, and sharing the gospel message, maybe, or talking to people and serving other people. Yesterday, it was a group of us that went to an organization called Feed My Starving Children, where we packed meals for children starving in foreign countries. And so we think of that as being the church. So maybe that's what comes to mind when you think of the word church. Well, none of those things are inaccurate. They're all church. They're all who we are as the body of Christ. But today, I do want to unpack a little bit from the book of Acts, chapter 2, what the believers, the early, very first church, kind of what their devotion to was as we look at church. And so we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 38. When we come to yellow print, you can read that out loud with me here. Acts 2, 38, Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Help me out. "Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 39 keeps going. "This promise is to you, your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Then Peter continued preaching for a long time. Nice. Strongly urging all of his listeners, help me, save yourself from this crooked generation. You know, this is a great picture of Peter doing some street evangelism. He is out amongst the people declaring this important message. He says, this succinct gospel message, repent, be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, it makes me chuckle, as we all did here, how Luke, the author of the book of Acts, writes in here that Peter preached for a very long time. So Luke is basically saying, I'm going to give you the main idea. The one thing that you should remember if you're taking notes is right there. It's basically summed it up into one sentence. But check out the result. The next verse here, Acts 2:41. "Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all." I mean, the people responded. Peter preached the gospel, and the people responded to that gospel. You know, today we got to witness two baptisms, and, you know, it took roughly about 10 minutes. You know, we watched two baptisms. Imagine if 3,000 people today showed up right now and said, I want to be baptized too. The water's already warm and ready to go. It was warm. I hope it was warm. And so, it's ready to go. I want to be baptized. And we had 3,000 people show up and want to do that. And this is after, remember, Peter preached for a very long time. We would be here all day, right? But that would be amazing. Now, the Bible, in most of your Bibles, I'm guessing if you have a paper Bible and you've opened it up like this here in my Bible, it says right here, it actually puts a little new like paragraph starting in the next verse. But interestingly enough, this next verse, verse 42, is really the conclusion thought to what we all just read. And so verse 42, let me read this. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. This is the verse I want to focus on the most this morning together. It's this summary of the first church, the early church in the book of Acts. And here we clearly see four things that the believers were devoted to. So if you have your outline, if you received an outline in your program, you've got four blanks you can fill in. If not, there are some back there. But the very first thing that we read in that verse, the believers were devoted to teaching. You know, this is primary for this early church, is that they had the teaching directly from the apostles that were with Jesus. They are getting the very firsthand knowledge of Jesus and his message. And, you know, as good Jewish men, these disciples were, these 12 disciples, you know, they grew up and most likely they were in their process of learning, were studying the Torah, the Old Testament, what we might call. And so they knew the Old Testament and the very first message of Jesus. They didn't have the rest of the Bible as we have it, but they had the message of Christ. And so they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. What we would call that today is theologically sound Bible teaching. And so as a church, we also must be devoted to this sound Bible teaching. Now, I know that's a priority here at Stony Creek Church and many churches around. I pray that maybe if you came and you're visiting from another church, as my family is because of witnessing that my nephew being baptized, but that you come from a church that has a sound Bible teaching as a top priority in their church. Here at Stony, we have these things called the seven guiding principles. Now, you learn about these things. We don't put them in the program or anything like that or on plaques out there, but you learn about them in the Exploring the Creek class. So those of you guys who are in the Exploring the Creek class, you get this information. And perhaps if you haven't remembered, here's a quick refresher on item number 4 on that list. It's biblical truth is presented creatively and applicatively. I think I said that word right. There was little red squiggly lines under this, which indicates that Word did not like this word, applicatively. But Randy wrote it, so it's the truth, I guess. No, right? No. but the fact that it's number 4 in our list of guiding principles does not mean that it's, you know, down the list or anything. It's just these are the 7 most important things that we are foundational here at the church. Biblical truth. It's so important. Let me move on to the second thing, though, that the apostles found and were devoted to here, and that is fellowship. The believers were devoted to fellowship. That's a word I used to think meant potluck, right? I grew up in the church. I grew up in kind of more of a traditional church, and we would have, especially at missions time, we're celebrating missionaries this month and stuff, we would always have this missions potluck after service, and my dad was like the mission coordinator, and so it's not too strange that my sister is now the mission coordinator here, but, you know, and so we always got to sit at the table with the missionaries, and which meant when they dismissed people for food, we got to eat first, and so that was amazing. And I always went for the Kentucky Fried Chicken. There was always the person that brought KFC, and that was always amazing. That and White Castle hamburgers sometimes. But you know, to me, that's what the word fellowship growing up meant. Now, obviously, we know that this is a much deeper word than just eating together. You know, the word fellowship here translated from the Greek word is koinonia. You can write that down in your outline if you like. Koinonia, and perhaps you've heard that word before. It gets used often, but this word implies so much more than simply enjoying a potluck together. In definition, the definition of koinonia means communion or close relationship or sharing with one another. This is where real community happens. In this life on life, people getting in each other's lives and getting to invest in each other. You don't get this koinonia fellowship if you're just showing up to church once in a great while. You don't get it if you sneak in late while the music is playing and you sneak out early before the pastor's done because you don't want to talk to anybody. You don't get koinonia fellowship even if you simply stay home because it's more comfortable and maybe watch online today. Now, maybe you saw my article I wrote, or I didn't write this article, I posted it on Facebook. It was just a quick little statement here that church on the sofa will never be the same as church in the sanctuary as we're gathered here together. And we can make arguments for that. There is definitely a great time to be online, watching online, as many of you are doing right now. If you're sick, you're not able to come with other people, that's 100%. Please stay online. You know, if you're if you're on vacation even and you want to tune in, this summer I was in Disney World and I was standing in line in Animal Kingdom and I was watching church online. It was amazing. I love technology for that, don't you guys? Watching online, you know, and then. Or, you know, perhaps you're checking out the church and you're like, I just don't know if I know this church. I want to know what they teach, like how they sound. Go online, check it out, watch a bunch of sermons, catch up on something in the past. But be careful not to fall into the trap to say, you know what, it's just easier to stay home and stay in my pajamas and just put it on my phone and or on my computer next to me and pretend I'm attending church. Because let's be honest here. Who misses out when that's our decision? Number one, those of you guys watching online, which I'm so glad and thankful that you are watching online, but you miss out on us, on this participation here together. But you know who else misses out? Each of us in the room misses out on those who are watching online and the fellowship, the koinonia that we can have together. You might get the Bible teaching, number one on our outline, but you're gonna miss out on the number two thing, that word fellowship. Now, interestingly, that word koinonia isn't used that much else in the book of Acts talking about the church. It's used there, not too much else. But there is another author who loves that word koinonia, and his name is Paul. And he uses it often in the later books of the New Testament, especially talking about this event we like to call the Lord's Supper. Check out 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. It says this, it says, when we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? You know, that word share, it should be on the screen here. It'll come up on the screen in just a moment. But that word sharing, you can underline that word or highlight that word, because guess what that Greek word is? Koinonia. So when we're at the Lord's table, when we're about to celebrate communion together, we're having koinonia, fellowship with Jesus. We're fellowshipping with him. That's why often we call this time of the Lord's Supper, we call it communion. That's the same word, koinonia. So that naturally leads me into the third thing here that believers are devoted to. Number three on your outline is this, the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. Now, once again, if you are familiar with this concept, we're gonna celebrate this in just a moment here. But that nuanced phrase in the original language here in Acts chapter 2, it says that it's breaking bread. And if you were to translate literally what the phrase means, it means breaking bread. But we're able to make the distinction, and so I love the way the New Living Translation, that's the one I put on your outline there, that it actually puts this parenthetical thought, including the Lord's Supper. And so it's kind of a deduction that this is what this phrase means in this original statement here. So I love that. And so what we're going to do now is we're actually going to take a time to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. So I'm going to invite Josh up to be on the keyboard. We're going to have some music play in just a few moments here, and we're going to get a chance to do this together. Now, like I already said, this is a celebration. This is a moment of saying, I am in fellowship with Jesus. I am in koinonia. I am in a relationship with Jesus as my Savior. If you've trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've put your hope and your trust in Him, then this is a time to declare that, to celebrate that together. And so this is a great moment for you, whether you're a member here or not. As long as you say, yes, I'm in relationship with Jesus, I'm going to celebrate communion. But if you haven't trusted in Jesus, I would just simply encourage you just to not participate this morning. But better yet, better than just saying now, just pass, is you can make this moment the moment where you say, yes, I want to be in a relationship with Jesus. I want to have that relationship with Jesus. We already read Peter's sermon, repent, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right now in this moment, we're not going to take you and be baptized. But you can still say, I'm going to declare that I'm going to start my relationship with Jesus in this moment. And this could be your first act of obedience, is saying, yes, I'm going to do this communion moment. And maybe even you can look back today and say, when we celebrated communion, that was the moment I trusted in Jesus for the first time. And so I'd encourage you, as we have this time together, to celebrate that as an act of fellowship with Jesus. A little bit of instruction. While the music plays in just a moment, I'm just going to ask you to come on up. You can use the aisleways. There's plenty of stations here. And grab one of these packets. And it has the juice, and it has the little wafer and little tip. If you shake it, it makes the juice a lot better. And so you shake it a little bit, and you can take it, and then you just go back to your seat. And you can have a seat for a minute and just relax and think about your relationship with Jesus. Do what Peter said, repent. Think of the sins, the stains in your life that you're bringing to the table, and say, Jesus, just restore me in this moment. You don't have to take the time to open it just yet. I'll give us time to do that, because otherwise all we hear is this little, you know, crinkly stuff. But if you do, that's fine too. We're all friends here, so we can do that. There's a little plastic outer coating on the wafer, and then a little metal foil that covers the little juice cup, and so you can get that ready. But let me pray. We'll play some music, and then you can come on up and get some, and then return to your seat. And one more quick thing. Just wait to eat it together. We'll all do it. We'll do it after we all have an opportunity to grab one. Let me pray. Father, in this moment, help us to focus on You. Help us to focus on having a repentant heart, a restored heart, ready to say, yes, I am in true relationship, koinonia, fellowship with You, Jesus. As we take this communion in just a moment, remind us of Your brokenness on the cross. Remind us of the blood that You shed for us so that we could have that relationship. God, we pray and we ask that You just remind us that we are Your children in this moment. In name we pray. Amen. Come down and get one. Thank you.
can spend a moment pulling the plastic off if you like and getting that prepared.
As you hold a little wafer in your hand, just let the power of the remembrance of Jesus' broken body sink in. Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 for you. It says, on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. He gave thanks to God. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's remember the Lord together. You can prepare your juice. The next verse continues, in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Let's drink it together. You know, just as Paul wrote here in verse 26, we preach a sermon when we take the Lord's Supper because we are declaring the Lord's death. And we're remembering what he's done for us. Just as in baptism we're declaring what Jesus has done for us. These are acts of actually remembering to keep the gospel as centrally focused in our lives, to be devoted to the gospel. That's one of the things that being devoted to the Lord's Supper can remind us of. You know, as we wrap up, there's one more fill in the blank on your outline that we're going to fill in here. But interestingly, I want to highlight a different translation of the same verse we already read, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. In the English Standard Version, it's in a couple of translations like this, but check this, the way it says. It sounds very similar. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. You can see right there that they just are a literal translation of that phrase, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. There's a unique article there before the word prayers. The word the tiny little word the. And that's in the original language as it was translated. And because the way this translator works, they translate everything very literally, word for word, keeping this. And what this reminds us of is we can read this in a different translation and might think we need to be devoted to prayer, which is absolutely true. But prayer is a form of the bigger word worship. You know, this concept of being devoted to the prayers is potentially what the illusion is that these Jewish men are still keeping the formal prayer hours of Judaism in the temple. They are still going and doing the things that they've learned and were taught. They're still keeping in that worship with God. And so with that in mind, you can write down the fourth thing to be devoted to is worship. Worship through prayer. Worship through singing, worship through sacrifice, worship through putting God on his throne above everything else in our life. Now, this could be a whole message in and of itself that I could spend time with, but one of the unique things about our time of worship, and when we do this through prayer, when we do this through the word, through teaching, and also when we do this through singing together, I want you to remember this phrase. We learn theology, or we study God from our time in corporate worship. You know, I want you to know that this statement is very important to me as a worship leader, to our worship team here, that we want to accurately teach and learn and remember who God is through our time of worship. We declare our praises to God, but we also reinforce
what we learn and what we know about God in our lives. And so I declare that I encourage us as a church to be devoted to these four things, to be devoted to Bible teaching, to be devoted to fellowship together, to be devoted to the Lord's Supper and declaring the gospel, and to be devoted to worshiping God above everything else. In fact, as we close today, we're going to close with a song that's reinforcing the things that we believe, that we hold to foundational theological truths here in this church. Would you guys stand with me? I'm going to pray, and then we'll just conclude our time in a time of worship. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this message and for your message straight out of the book of Acts, this reminder to be devoted to you through what you've given us. God, let us not take lightly the fact that you want us to be your followers together, to be devoted to your word, to be devoted to your message, proclaiming it. And God, help us to worship you with everything we have. In your name we pray. Amen.